passage, walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Be ready there. Galatians chapter 5. Walking by the Spirit. Personally, I have found phrases like live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit or keep in step with the Spirit. These are phrases Paul uses to be great commands. But they left me with the question, Paul, how do I do this? How do I keep in step with the Holy Spirit? What does that look like in daily life, Paul? So in this two-part series, we will discover some insights in how to walk by the Holy Spirit. So as we get to God's Word, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Verses 16 through 18. And I am reading from the New International Version. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. So I say, says Paul, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I'm going to take a quick break right here. I'm going to say later on in this message that God's commands in the Old Testament were rules to live by. God's commands in the New Testament are promises. And here's one of them. Let's read it again. Verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do you see the promise? Yeah. This is the result, the promise of living by the Spirit. You will not satisfy the desires of your flesh. Do you have any desires of the flesh? 1, 2, 10, 50, whatever it is. Verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary or opposite to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You're not under rule-keeping. Rule-keeping for the purpose of trying to be righteous in God's eyes. We talked about that a lot as we walked through the book of Romans. That rule-keeping or law-keeping is our effort to be good enough in God's eyes. Why do we want to do law-keeping? Because we have forgotten or we don't understand in the first place that we are saved by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we don't understand that, the only result we can come to is go back into law-keeping in order to become acceptable to God, forgetting that I already am through Jesus. So when we live by the Spirit, we become free of the law, that is, law-keeping. We're not calling law, the Old Testament law, bad. We're not doing that. It served its purpose. The purpose of the law is to show us how sinful we are. Anybody ever said to you, don't do that, and the first thing you did was that? The law is going to show us we just will never make it using law-keeping as a way to become good enough in God's eyes. The law shows us that over and over. What I hope to convey to you in today's message is this. Walking by the Spirit begins with knowing what is not walking by the Spirit. Let's identify what it's not, first of all, and then next week, look at what it is. The Holy Spirit will never guide you outside of God's Word. He uses the Word of God to help you walk the way God wants you to walk, and that's called living by the Spirit. You can always trust Him to guide you correctly. Walking by the Spirit requires two elements. First, knowing God's Word. How many of you have a Bible time, reading time that you practice? somewhere in the week, hopefully somewhere daily, you're in the Word of God, whether it's opening your Bible, whether it's on your cell phone, you have some sort of app or some sort of tool to get into God's Word on a regular basis. So walking by the Spirit requires knowing God's Word, because the Holy Spirit's going to use God's Word to guide you correctly. Secondly, the second element involved in walking by the Spirit is listening to the Holy Spirit. This has become more and more exciting for me, and I think something we need to probably address more is, how do I know I'm listening to the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? How do I know the difference between Him talking to me and me talking to me, or Satan talking to me? These are good questions. Maybe we ought to use those in part of our class. So let's look at what walking by the Spirit is not. First of all, walking by the Spirit is not rule-keeping, but relationship. Legalism or rule-keeping is easy to drift into. Okay, let me give you an example. Churches do it. Corporations do it. Something goes wrong. Somebody does something that the corporation or the church said, oh, that's not good. We shouldn't do that. Let's write a policy around that. And so we write a policy around the thing we don't want to have done. There's another rule that people have to follow. After a while, you're going to end up with a notebook, a 3-inch notebook full of rules. Rule keeping is not very relational. Okay? That applies not only in church life, but in your marriage, in your parenting, in your relationships with people at work. Rule keeping isn't very relational. We can all become cops, if you will, of each other. You shouldn't do that. Relationship, yes, it requires more work to teach someone how to do it better, but that person once has learned how to do it better and has known, I've been kept through the process of learning how to do it better. I've been kept. Is hugely healing, empowering to you and to the one receiving the training. Maybe it's you receiving it, but it's done in relationship. And guess what it requires that most of us think we don't have? Time. It's easy to get into rule keeping. This, and this. That's it. Okay, I told you, now go do it. Or don't do it. Brothers and sisters, relationship takes time and effort. Jesus took that time and effort with the 12, with the people he ministered to. Walking by the Spirit is not about rules, but relationship. Legalism says the way to be right with God is to not break the law. The problem is that whenever we try to change the heart of a person, a family, a church, or an entire society by keeping certain rules, it only encourages people to break the rules. You and I, somewhere in our lives, have received a rule from someone, and perhaps verbally, but probably mostly under our breath, we said, "Watch me." Oh, yeah, we say. Tell a young child he can't have a cookie. Zooms to the cookie jar. And spends the next hour figuring out how he can get that cookie. Telling people their behavior is wrong will not make them stop. Rule keeping can never make people better on the inside, because it can't give life to anyone. Why not? Rules aren't designed to give life, but to show us that we lean towards sin. How many times have you said, "I'll never do that again"? Yeah. And find yourself 15 minutes later doing that again. We're kind of bent towards this sin side of things. Oh, there's a lot of reasons for it. One of them is that the results of sin is so instantaneous. And trusting God to deliver what he promises to deliver doesn't always come right now. I've been asking God to take away my sciatica pain. It's been about 2 months now. It's not fun. A lot of you've had it. You know what it's like. It's not gone yet. Does the world offer me anything to take away pain? A whole list of stuff. Some of it legal, some of it not. I could have relief right now. Here's one thing I've been doing to follow the Spirit. In prayer, I say this. God, this pain is horrible. I hate it. But this I know. You will use this pain, you will use this experience in my life to deepen me in some way, to deepen my character, to make me a long hauler in righteousness. And so, God, I'm not going to focus on you answering this prayer to relieve my pain. What I'm going to do, God, is ask that I get to somehow use this event, this experience, to glorify you. Regardless of how long this pain lasts, I don't care. I want to glorify you in the midst of all this. Now, see the change in focus? Too often, brothers and sisters, we as Christians send up to God, fix it! Now! Yeah. And the focus becomes us. Jesus said, I have come to bring the kingdom of heaven. It is here now. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual way to live in relationship with God and in relationship with the world in a way that glorifies him. Brothers and sisters, make your prayer about that, regardless of where you're at in life. And it will change your focus. It will. God will answer that. He'll give you a new power to stay focused in him and his ways. He will give you new ideas of how to do that. He will give you new encouragements and new empowerments to help you glorify him regardless of what you're going through right now. Now, don't think that it's important, that it is not important to obey God's word. That's not what I'm saying here in terms of rule keeping. It is paramount that we do obey God's good word. God's rules tell us where he has set up boundaries around us. Boundaries that say, don't step outside of your marriage. Be faithful to the one you have called spouse. Honor your vows. That boundary is one that the world hates. Boy, howdy. Be free from those boundaries, the world says. Be free. God says, be free. Following me will free you. Oh, wait a minute. The world says I'll be free. God says I'll be free. Who's telling the truth? When I follow God within his boundaries, and don't step outside of marriage, or I don't steal stuff from my workplace, whether it's time or things that I'd like to have that work has, and nobody's going to miss it anyway. They hardly ever use it, so I'll take it home. When I live within those boundaries, guess what I'm free from? Having to look over my shoulder. Having to wonder if anybody saw me. I don't have to lie to my spouse about where I was at. I am free. I have peace that goes beyond any kind of freedom the world would offer me. I am free. Are you free of that? Do you have the freedom to live in peace? Do you have freedom from worry? Do you have the freedom from looking over your shoulder? This is what boundaries do for us. God's boundaries, oh, they provide a freedom from worry and wonder that is so powerful. Walking by the Spirit is not by rules. Secondly, walking by the Spirit is not license. The other side of that coin. Walking by the Spirit is not license or freedom to do whatever you want. Walking by the Spirit is about honest love. Honest love. In Boundaries Group, we start out the year saying this. We're not here to learn how to be perfect. That's what screwed us up. That's what made life so miserable. Because perfectionism is all about rule keeping. And what do you do to yourself when you break one of your own rules? Condemn, condemn, condemn. Honest love says this. I'm going to learn in this boundaries group to learn how to speak and communicate honestly with God, with you, and with myself. Now, on the front end, that's a really scary thing to think about. Because you wonder, if I tell the truth of how I see things or how I feel or things that you're doing that I don't want you to do anymore, will you leave me? Will you not like me anymore? Will I lose you? Well, those are serious questions. But being afraid of losing love means you really aren't in love anyway. You're in turmoil. You're in fear. It's not a love you can trust. So learning how to be honest in our communications with God, others, and ourselves is a powerful way to say, I love you. I'm telling you the truth about how I see things, how I am, how more I want you, so on and so on. So let's define the word license to mean this. Having an undisciplined lifestyle that results in abusing privileges. God gives you privileges. When you abuse the privileges, you are living in a license. Our whole attitude in our country, our culture, our whole society's way of thinking, philosophy meaning a belief system. Our society's philosophy says, I can do whatever I want. You know, it doesn't take very much discussion with someone holding that viewpoint to figure out, so I can do whatever I want to you, and that's okay? Oh, well, no, that's not okay. Oh, wait a minute, you just said, and off we go. Well, how about this? I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't hurt, and you have a list of people if it doesn't hurt. I can do whatever I want there. Well, what about the people that aren't on that list? See, our society wants to live in license, to do whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want, with whoever we want, anytime we want. And you shouldn't have anything to say about it. We just lost community. We've stepped into individualism and out of community. Community says, you get to have a say in how I live my life. And I will submit myself to that and vice versa to you. This is community. The church family is community. We are commanded, taught, are we not, to invest in each other's lives? James chapter 4, if you see your brother going a wrong way, go and correct him. And if he listens, you have saved him from death. Wow, that's community. Walking by the Spirit is not license, but honest love. Freedom from sin through Christ is not a license to live however we want. Would you agree that people who live however they want end up hurting themselves and others? This freedom from sin's power and penalty carries with it this, the responsibility to love others God's way. The responsibility to love others God's way. That will challenge you. And that will bless you beyond measure when you love others God's way. Loving others God's way will require you at times to put away self. And to, let's say it this way. I choose to suffer for a friend, a brother, a sister. I choose to suffer. The word suffering meaning giving up my time, maybe some resources, maybe a favorite program, maybe whatever. Your favorite program coming on, the phone rings, it's somebody who needs to hear your voice right now. That you would be willing to suffer, honest love. To do this, you have to set some limits around yourself. Freedom carries the responsibility to live within the boundaries of God's word. When you live within those boundaries or the limits that God's word has for us, you're freed from the guilt and worry and consequences of living outside those boundaries. Hallelujah! This is good stuff. You ought to be standing up going, woo! Yeah! This is great! Yeah! I am free, free indeed. John 8:32. The word will set you free and you will be free indeed. There's nothing more terrifying than the worry of being found out, being discovered. And when you live by God's word, you don't have that worry. So let's recap. The law of God is powerless to bring renewed life to you. The law only shows us that we cannot achieve a right relationship with God through law keeping by itself, because we will always break the law. The law helped us to know we need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. The commandments of God serve their purpose. Neil Anderson, in his book Liberating Prayer, in speaking about the purpose of God's commandments, said this. I've already said it once. In the Old Testament, the law came by the way of written commandments. In the New Testament, the commandments become promises. Isn't that powerful? That grabbed my heart when I read that. In the New Testament, the commandments become promises. How powerful that is. What a great motivator for Delbert to want to follow the commands of God in the New Testament, because they bring promises. It's a meeting place where God's promises and Delbert's obedience to God's commands come together and experience each other. Ha! That's good stuff. This is called life. The commandments become promises, and that when we live within the boundaries of God's commandments, we find freedom to give and receive love that is honest. The result is living a life real peace on earth. Christmas is coming. We sing about peace on earth, goodwill to men. Is that just fluff in the air? Is there something really real about that? I trust this message has given you a clearer idea of what is meant by the phrase walking by the Holy Spirit. It is not legalism, where you're always afraid that you're not good enough. Nor is it walking by the Spirit living in license. That is a belief that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, anytime you want, with whomever you want. Because that only leads you back into bondage, back into fear. In contrast, living by the Holy Spirit is living in a deepening relationship with God and living within God's boundaries, choosing to submit yourself to His ways of doing life and relationship, which allows you to give and receive honest love, the kind of love that makes the real difference in your life and the lives of those around you, because you are touching someone else's life right now. I'll share this with you. Worship team, come on up. I shared this in men's group Tuesday night. And it's kind of a new revelation to me. And I didn't realize I'd been hanging on to a belief until this month, Pastor Appreciation Month. when I received cards and notes and hugs and thank yous. And for some reason, it broke through to my heart this year. Okay, you guys have been doing this for me for 22 years. Thank you. Thank you. But this year, I realized I'm important to you. I didn't know that. Why? Not because you weren't trying to tell me. Because I would not accept it. I can't be that important to people. But I think you might have the same issue. That you might not realize how important you are to people around you. And to realize that how you live your life, whether by legalism or license, is going to impact other people in a negative way. And as we talk about this next Sunday, coming into the middle of legalism and license and finding the healthy, wonderful balance of living in honest truth, walking in the Spirit. And that will impact people beyond your imagination. You may not know always how it is, but it is. Holy Spirit is working through you. You are important to people. Will you realize that today? So as we sing this song, I ask you to make a decision to let God's love in all the way. And let Him say to you, "You are my choicest treasure, the hearts of people. And I want to use you to touch others." Don't ever think you're not important to them. I've chosen you to touch them. So this morning, I just pray that you'll respond to God in some way. If you need to come up here and have a hug or a prayer, or in the back, there'll be people back there who can receive you and pray for you too. However you want to do that, my encouragement is respond. Respond to God. Let's stand together as we sing.